Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I'm joined by the New York Times bestselling author Dinesh D'Souza, who is out with a brand new book, Vindicating Trump, and it is also now a major motion picture. The book includes an interview with President Trump that was ironically done just a few days after the assassination attempt at Butler. And Dinesh, as we jump off here, when you interviewed President Trump shortly after the Butler incident, the Butler attempted assassination, your first question to him is, why do you do it with all he's accomplished? My question to you about Vindicating Trump, the film and the book, why did you do it?
Well, I wanted to make the case for Trump the man, as well as the policies. What I find remarkable about Trump is the extremity of the reactions that he provokes at the two extremes. One group of people will, you know, willingly take a bullet for him, and the other group will cheer, even if silently, if somebody tries to put a bullet in him. And you have to say, I have to go all the way back to Lincoln to find a president who provoked such extreme, antagonistic, and opposite reactions. But in the case of Lincoln, interestingly, the hatred of Lincoln was over his policies, not over Lincoln the man. But with Trump, it is over Trump the man. And so I wanted to do a book, make a film that would bring Trump to the forefront and take head-on this question of Trump's character, who is he, because some of the things that are said about him are very disturbing, but also completely outrageous.
You invoke in the book a lot of history, I mean, going back to the classics all the way up through the modern political philosophies and things, but the one that stuck out to me, because I hadn't read too much about it, is Lincoln's Lyceum speech. And can you explain how that Lyceum speech was so transformational at the time and then how it relates to Trump today?
Yes, Lincoln gave a speech early in his career. It's not his most famous speech. It doesn't have the same mature cadences of later, the Gettysburg Address and so on. But in the Lyceum speech, a young Abraham Lincoln sort of prophesied that if America is ever destroyed, it will not happen from abroad. It will happen from within. But how? Lincoln says what's going to happen is that you will begin to see a rising tide of lawlessness in American society. But it's not just the lawlessness on the part of the public or in the street. A dictatorial figure or a dictatorial regime will arise. Lincoln says it could be somewhat similar to a Caesar or a Napoleon. And this regime, this figure, will seize upon the public lawlessness and use it to overturn our constitutional system. Now, of course, there are a lot of people today, or some people today on the left, who will say, aha, yes, Lincoln was right. And that guy is Trump. He's the dictator that we have to worry about. But the argument of the film and the book is that, no, Trump is not, in fact, a dictator. He was in power. He didn't do anything dictatorial. A lot of the tyrannical and dictatorial things are coming from the left and from the Democrats. They are the ones who are doing mass surveillance, systematic censorship, criminalization of political differences, attempting to lock up the leading figure in the opposition party. All these signature elements of tyrannical societies, all of those things are here. Lincoln is right to that degree, but they're not coming from Trump. They're coming from the other side.
When you put together a political documentary, and I think documentaries are hard to make on a mass scale to make them entertaining, because you think of History Channel documentaries like that, but this documentary that you've put out has become very popular. It's a lot of people have seen it. I've had people just even here in our little town tell me they've seen it. But when you put this together, how do you bridge that gap between making it both informative and entertaining? Because that's a tough line to keep yourself on.
Yes, we do hugely entertaining cinematic recreations. We embed those into a narrative. We pay a lot of attention to the kind of elements that you see in a feature film. In other words, even though we're making a documentary or a nonfiction film, I think that a good documentary or a good docudrama has all the same elements as a good feature film. It has character, it has plot, it has suspense, it has climax, It has a powerful, emotional, musical underscore for the film. So we put all those elements in the movies, and I think that makes them feel, when you watch them, that you're not just watching a normal documentary, you're actually watching a movie.
Well, and I love the story in the book about how President Trump screened this movie at Mar-a-Lago. He was at the screening, and, you know, usually you think of people at a screening, they say, oh, great job, Dinesh. He actually provided constructive criticism to you that you followed, right?
Yeah, Trump is kind of a character because not only is he a politically engaged figure, but let's remember he was a massive cultural celebrity before he entered politics. So he looks at a movie as somebody who has been the star of a major TV show, The Apprentice, a guy who has appeared as a cameo figure in multiple movies. So that's why sitting next to Trump and watching any kind of film, and of course Trump doesn't really like to sit silently and watch and maybe comment at the end. He gives you a running commentary while the movie is playing, and he asks all kinds of technical questions like, well, Dinesh, what about the music? Where did you get that? Did you buy that? Did you have someone compose that? Hey, Dinesh, your voice, it's really good. It really, you have a movie voice, my friend. And so this is Trump, and I have to admit I'm chuckling all the way through to be getting, you know, Donald Trump's kind of running commentary on my film.
I'm chatting with Dinesh D'Souza about his, not only his book, but also his movie, Vindicating Trump. It's available, the book's available everywhere. The movie is now available on DVD. It's also still in theaters. And Dinesh, you haven't known President Trump. I mean, you're not a lifelong Trump fan, and I think you met him during his first term, right?
Yeah, I had a campaign finance violation. I got a presidential pardon in the middle of 2018. I had not met Trump. A lot of people think, oh man, what did you do? Trump must have owed you big time, Dinesh. Not at all. I had never met the guy. But I did meet him in the White House in November of 2019. And I've had a relationship with Trump since then, but I'm certainly not part of Trump's inner circle. I've been an independent political commentator and scholar for 25 years. I began my career in the Reagan era. I've written now close to 20 books. So I'm very intrigued by the phenomenon of Trump, but I wouldn't say that I'm a Trump surrogate or anything like that.
I thought the story about when he talked about the pardon, it was a decision that he made. I mean, he called you, and you didn't know him, but he certainly knew of you and your case. What does that do to somebody who's, you know, you watch him from far to realize that he knew more about you than you probably thought?
Well, I thought it was really fascinating because having worked in the White House in my younger days, I know that something like a presidential pardon involves quite a complex process. And very often, a political administration's Republican and Democrat will conduct focus groups and do all kinds of reviews. But I think with Trump, this is a guy who knew about my case. He knew that there was, to a large degree, a sort of selective prosecution element about this. The Obama administration unleashed its Justice Department. They kind of came after me on what is otherwise a fairly trivial campaign finance violation. I donated money over the limit. So I think Trump knew about all this. He also thought it was nonsense. And so it was kind of like, hey, Dinesh, you know what? I know this is nonsense. I have the power to fix this injustice. And so guess what? I'm just going to be giving you a pardon in the morning. So the whole kind of attitude and the approach that Trump took struck me as very different from what anyone else, even Reagan, would do. This was a guy who saw what he thought to be a wrong, and he decided, well, I'm in a position to make it right.
Something else I found interesting in your conversations with President Trump in the Oval Office, you talked about how he is personally, and I've talked to people who've met him over the years. He's a very warm figure, and so how does that contrast with we usually see him on the campaign stage using the rhetoric of a campaign, but how does his personality contrast with what you see on the stage?
Well, to take an example, you know, people will say on the left that Trump is a bully. And interestingly, on the public stage, that allegation appears to be true because you'll see Trump and he will be ridiculing, you know, CNN, or he will be bashing Chuck Schumer or attacking Tim Walz. So Trump is a guy who does not mind bullying bullies. But the point I want to make about Trump, and this is very noticeable to anyone who's around Trump in person, is in person, he never bullies anyone who is beneath him. You will never see him bully a waiter or a doorman in one of his hotels or a cab driver. So Trump, in that sense, will take on, he's an 800-pound gorilla, he will take on other 800-pound gorillas, but he does not demean people around him. On the contrary, he'll stop in one of his hotels, he happens to know the name of the doorman, he happens to know that the doorman's son just took some kind of exam, he will ask how that, how the kid did. So he shows a kind of gentleness and consideration and empathy. And I wanted to bring those elements out in my conversation with him in the movie. By the way, if I can say, the website is vindicatingtrump.com. The movie is, by the way, now also streaming and available in DVD, and all the details are on that website, vindicatingtrump.com.
As you went through your experience with the prosecution for the campaign finance violation, and history doesn't always repeat itself, but it sometimes rhymes. As you're watching the lawfare with President Trump, did you see the same elements of it, maybe to a grander scale, but at least some of the same elements that you experienced?
Yes, I absolutely do. But not only that, when I first met Trump, my family did in November of 2019, he said something like, "Hey, Dinesh, well, guess what? The things that they did to you, they're now trying to do to me." And at that time, all that we had were the sort of brewing first impeachment. Of course, it was followed by a second impeachment. But the real lawfare hadn't, of course, started. That was all much more recent. And so this idea of 91, criminal charges, by the way, I should say that, if any other candidate, any other Republican was facing even 5 criminal charges, they would have exited the field, fled from the race, and so on. So I think it is a mark of Trump's endurance, his tenacity, even his bravery, that he is able not only to survive and endure, but he sort of forges ahead.
I think, was it you that had the conversation with him, or a text conversation before a debate, about questions to ask, and he didn't use any of them?
That goes back, yes, it was me, but this goes back to 2016. I was giving a convocation speech at Liberty University, and I was chatting with the then president, Jerry Falwell Jr., before my talk, and he said, "Hey, Dinesh, what questions, an upcoming debate was between Trump and Hillary," and he said, "What questions would you unload on Hillary? Like, do you have any atom bombs?" And I go, "Oh, yeah, I have 2. And so, to my surprise, Jerry Falwell whips out his cell phone and calls Trump. He goes, "Hey, it's Jerry Falwell. Dinesh D'Souza is right here. He's got a couple of really good questions for you to unload on Hillary." And so I tell Trump what those questions are, and Trump, he's very genial. He goes, "Oh, yeah, this is great, Dinesh. My people are horrible. Send these questions to me. I'd like to..." And so that was actually my very first, and it was on the phone, interaction with Trump until I met him in 2019.
Well, just the personal observations in the book are great, and the recounting of your conversations with President Trump. The book is Vindicating Trump. It's also a major motion picture that you can stream. You can buy the DVD. You can still see it in the theaters. Dinesh D'Souza's got all kinds of political documentaries out, and some of the best ones of all time. Dinesh, this is just a fantastic book. The documentary is fantastic, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
It's been my pleasure.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. God bless the